Chapter 4. It's about time, Vicky. I told you he's no good. I don't know what you saw in him in the first place, said Teresa, Vicky's closest friend. I could hear them talking in the hallway as we made our way to English class. Several hours had passed since I told Vicky off. They couldn't see me in the crowd behind them. You don't even know him. I know he's nothing but a wannabe gangbanger, and that's all I need to know, Teresa said, cutting Vicky off. Since we met, Teresa did nothing but give me dirty looks. I usually gave them right back because I have no time for snobs. That's why he got beat up, because he's a jerk and no one likes him, Teresa scoffed. I guess he's not so tough if he got beat up that bad. You're better off without him. I bit my tongue and kept my mouth shut, but it wasn't easy. If Teresa wasn't trying to cheer up Vicky, I would have told her off right there in front of everyone. What you talking about, Teresa? Cut in Roiland Bailey, a boy who sat in the back row near me in class. I heard Martin clocked your boy Steve in Mr. Dooling's class. I'd have paid cash money to see that, he added. Boy, you should save your money so you can buy some sense, said Tara Carson, this heavy girl who knew everyone at Blueford. Besides, it ain't none of your business, so just stay out of it. Can you all just drop it? Vicky snapped as the group reached our classroom. I felt bad she had all this attention, but there was no way I could stand up for her. It would only make things worse. Drop what, Vicky? Asked Steve Morris. He came from the other side of the hallway and surprised her. Just forget it, she replied, rolling her eyes and darting into class. I was seconds behind them walking into the classroom. Teresa was the first person to spot me entering. Her face twisted when our eyes met, like she just looked at a pile of garbage. Aw, come on, Vicky. Why you gotta be that way? Steve said as I made my way to my seat. He glanced at me as I sat down, his eyes narrow and angry. My problems with Steve started in gym class. I watched him slam into this short kid Eric who was playing him strong on the basketball court. Afterward, Steve boasted like he'd beaten LeBron James one-on-one. The rest of the class laughed along even though Eric was hurt. Just like at Zamora, it was the cowards who laughed loudest. It don't take much skill to hit someone half your size, I said, sick of listening to Steve show off. People in the locker room looked shocked, like I was supposed to be scared just because he's Blueford's star running back. Forget that. The next day, Steve and his boys sucker punched me. I didn't even see them until I was on my back staring up at Steve's smirk. I couldn't let it end like that, so I followed him into the locker room and clocked him. That's when I got busted for fighting. At first, no one told Miss Spencer I hadn't thrown the first punch, but then Eric and Vicky came forward and told her the truth. Miss Spencer kicked Steve and four other guys out of this week's football game. If you ask me, that ain't even punishment. Who cares about missing a stupid game? But football's a big deal at Blueford, and Steve cared. The next day, he came at me again. Me and Vicky were walking down the street when this car whipped around. Next thing I knew, Steve and four other guys surrounded us. It was 5-1, and I was getting nervous, when Frankie and our crew pulled up in his Le Mans. Hey, Holmes? Frankie barked as he got out of his car. You ain't having a party without us, are ya? He then spit a nasty white glob on the ground at Steve's feet. Steve and his friends looked like they were about to wet their pants. It would have been funny except Frankie had that sick smile on his face, the one that told me it was about to get ugly. He was going to put someone in the hospital, or a body bag. That's when I jumped in. He ain't worth it, I said, holding Frankie back just long enough for Steve and his crew to get away. I knew things between me and Frankie would go downhill after that, but I just couldn't watch him ruin another kid. Not in my name. Not after everything with Weddle. Steve wasn't about to thank me for saving his butt, though. I could see that in his eyes as I sat in Mr. Mitchell's class. Even though he was talking to Vicky, he was looking at me like he was planning something. Like I said, Steve, just drop it, Vicky replied. She started to look back toward me, but then stopped herself. Steve's jaw tightened up. His leg was twitching like he was ready to pounce. Up until I came along, he and Vicky were friends. They even went out for a few months last year. She told me it was no big deal, though Steve's eyes always said it was. Oh, so you're not talking to me? He asked, glaring at Vicky and then at me. Don't tell me you're still into Sanchez. He's just gonna drag you down, girl. Like my grandfather used to say, if you lied with dogs, you're gonna end up with fleas. Oh, snap! Roiland shouted. That's cold, yo. He said Martin's got fleas. My blood started boiling. I was trying to hold on, to let it end this way so Vicky would move on. but I was having trouble. My fingers were purple from squeezing my desk. Don't do this, Steve, Vicky said. Do what? Tell the truth about your new boyfriend? He's not her boyfriend, Teresa said. She hasn't seen anyone since you two broke up. I don't need you to speak for me, Vicky snapped, flashing an angry glare at Teresa. What's the matter, Vicky? You and Sanchez get in a fight? Steve asked, a smirk on his face. That must be where he got all them nasty bruises on his face. Or maybe those are flea bites. I couldn't sit there anymore. You got something you want to say to me? I asked, jumping out of my desk. My chair fell backward with a loud crash, but I didn't care. Teresa's jaw dropped like she'd witnessed a crime. You better be careful, Holmes, Steve replied, a smug grin on his face. No one's going to protect you in here, not like last time. Anger raced through my veins like fire. The truth was, I protected him from Frankie. He knew it, but he was putting up a front, saving his reputation. I shoved the desk aside and moved toward him, my fist clenched, my pulse pounding like a drum in my forehead. Martin, don't! Vicky yelled. I ignored her. In my head, I could see myself smashing the smile off his mouth, breaking his nose. For a second, it was like the whole world had tilted, driving me toward him, like he was the reason my life had fallen apart, like hurting him would make it all better. Martin! A deeper voice shouted, snapping me from my thoughts. It was Mr. Mitchell. He'd come into the classroom without us noticing. Get back to your seat, now! Dozens of eyes focused on us. Some people, like Vicky, were concerned, but most seemed hungry to watch a fight. You know how school is. Steve stared at me with a cold, hate-filled smile. Whatever, I said. I walked back to my desk, grabbed my chair, and sat down. My ears were ringing and my hands shook with anger, but I held it in. Barely. I will see you after class, Martin, Mr. Mitchell said, and then quietly began taking attendance. The class sighed, and people slowly turned to face the front of the room. I took a deep breath, grabbed my notebook, and tried to swallow down the rage that still smoldered in my chest. Revenge is sweet, Mr. Mitchell said then, pausing so his words hung in the air. Is this a true statement? Is revenge a good thing? He asked, eyeing Steve, me, and the rest of the class. It was one of his trick questions. Everyone looked around for a second to see who was brave enough to answer. I didn't move. Definitely, Steve spoke up. That grin was on his face again. He even looked over at me. If someone wrongs me, I'm gonna do what I gotta do to teach him a lesson. Okay, Mr. Mitchell replied. I think a lot of people would agree with you, Steve. Although Vicky doesn't appear to be one of them, he said, turning to her. Her hand was raised, and she looked annoyed. But when does it end? Vicky cut in. I mean, if someone does something to you, and you do something back, then the person just wants to get back at you, and it goes on forever. How does that solve anything? Steve was silent for a second. Hey, I'm just being real. That's just the way it is. If people can't handle it, they should have never started trouble to begin with, he said. But what if someone gets in your face when you're doing something wrong? Are you going to get revenge then when it was your mistake that started everything? Vicky cut back, her words sharp as blades. Though she said no names, I knew she was talking about how I called Steve out for hitting Eric. Oh, I forgot. You don't make mistakes. Some students laughed. Even Steve smiled with the look that said Vicky proved her point. I loved seeing her in action. Her almond eyes were so intense you could almost feel heat from her stare. Easy, Vicky, Mr. Mitchell said. What Vicky is showing us is that revenge can be messy, very messy. What we are about to read in this class is a messy revenge story, one which involves lies, betrayal, violence, even murder. Sounds like a day in the hood, Roiland said, and a few students laughed. Nope, it's Hamlet. A 400-year-old play that is as rough as anything we've seen in the movies or read in this class. A few kids rolled their eyes as Mr. Mitchell started passing out books to each of us. The Tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. I flipped through my copy. It was filled with old-fashioned words like in my mother's Bible, thou and thine. Who can read that stuff? The word Hamlet seemed stupid to me too, like the name of a sandwich or something. But the way Mr. Mitchell described it made it seem interesting. A revenge story involving a murder. It sounded too familiar. The next thing I knew, Mitchell had the class reading a scene out loud. There was this ghost of someone who had been killed. He was begging for his son Hamlet to catch his murderer. "Avenge me," he said over and over again. Even though it was 400 years old, I knew the meaning of the words. I lived them every day when I thought about Weddle and the coward who shot him. At the end of class, I was reading ahead, slowly connecting the strange words like pieces in a large puzzle. "Martin, what happened today?" Mr. Mitchell asked as soon as the class emptied. He closed the door so no one could hear us. His voice was almost angry. I didn't want to hear a lecture, not after Steve started with me. That boy was asking for it. "Huh?" I said, playing dumb. "Don't give me huh, Martin. I'm done playing with you. You're skating on thin ice in this school. So, you think I'm just gonna sit there and let someone diss me? That ain't happening." "Martin, listen to me for a second. I'm talking to you man to man now." "Oh, so now we're gonna be friends. What's up, Holmes? Go ahead, Mr. Mitchell. Let's be for real," I snapped, unable to stop the anger spilling from my lips. I know it wasn't his fault, but I just couldn't take it. My mom, Frankie, Vicky, Steve, and now him? It was just too much. "Martin, what do you want me to say?" "Sorry, Mr. Mitchell. I was wrong to stand up in class. Next time I promise to sit there and like a punk and let him bust on me," I said, checking my anger before it went too far. "Look, Mr. Mitchell, I gotta go." He did something that struck me then, something that hurt. His eyes dropped. His shoulders slumped forward. And then he nodded. "Go," he said quietly. "Get out of here." That second, he looked defeated. It was like I had truly exhausted him. I knew I was pushing him away, but I guess I was testing him, hoping he wouldn't give up, trusting that someone still believed in me. Anyone. "You are talented and have potential, Martin," he had said the other day. I held those words like a lifeline when Frankie was hitting me. They led me back to Blueford, made me contact Officer Ramirez, gave me hope that there was more for me than streets where brothers die. "Maybe you were wrong about me, you know? What you said the other day?" I could feel my anger thawing for a second, sense the ocean of sadness beneath it. "No, Martin, you are wrong about you," he said, rubbing his forehead. "Wrong to blame yourself for things that aren't your fault. Wrong to keep pushing people away. Wrong to let stupid comments from Steve jeopardize your career here at Blueford. Wrong to protect guys that aren't your friends." I couldn't speak or move. My feet were nailed to the floor, and my mouth was glued shut. He was dropping truth on me like a rain of bombs. "You were wrong about me too," he added. "I'm not here to punish you or make your life difficult." "I guess you got all the answers then," I replied, kicking my foot against my desk. He took a deep breath. "No, I don't, Martin. But I know some of what you're going through. My nephew was killed by a stray bullet in a drive-by shooting 9 years ago, just a few blocks from this school. He was only 6 years old," he said, resting his hand briefly on his chest like he was saying a prayer. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. "The police never found the person who did it, and to this day, I think it's because people are too scared to talk," he said. I could feel him watching me. I kept my eyes focused on a crack in the tile floor, anything to avoid his gaze. "I'm sorry. I see too many kids taken down on these streets, Martin. Too many young people swallowed up by drugs, guns, and gangs. Kids who don't know better making bad choices that ruin their lives. I decided a long time ago to try to catch kids before they fall. It's one reason I became a teacher. I'm saying this so you know where I'm coming from in case you want to talk. You think I'm one of those fallen kids, don't you? That's why you're always in my face." "No, I think you've got a difficult choice to make. Right now you're still standing, but if you get kicked out of this school, where will you be? Another fight and that's what will happen." I glanced up at him. "School is the least of my problems." He nodded. I could hear students lining up in the hall outside his door. His next class was about to start. "Martin, we both know a lot more than you told the police the other day. As someone who has lost someone, I need to say this. For your brother's sake, you've got to tell the police what you know. I know it doesn't sound right, but if you keep one kid safe because you get a gun or a criminal off the street, it's worth it. Mr. Mitchell had been making sense until he started asking me to snitch on my friends. Then I started feeling pressure in my head, like my skull was crammed full of tangled knots. I needed to get away from him. "Next period is about to start," I said, getting up from my chair and heading toward the door. "I gotta go." He sighed and followed me to the doorway. "Remember what I said, Martin. You have a choice to make. My door is always open if you ever want to talk." I nodded and rushed past him into the crowded hallway, never looking back. The last class of the day was gym with Mr. Dooling. Thanks to my doctor's note, all I did was sit on the bleachers and watch everyone play basketball. Steve, Clarence, and the rest of their friends dominated the court, but they weren't pushing anyone around, not even Eric. He nodded to me from the other side of the gym. It was the first time I'd seen Eric since my fight in the locker room. I wanted to smack him for talking to Miss Spencer. Yeah, it was brave, and it got me out of trouble. But so what? Where I come from, talking to the principal could get you beat up, or worse. I couldn't handle him getting hurt for me. "Eric," I said, walking up to him after class, "we need to talk, bro." He smiled when he saw me, a look that reminded me of my little brother. For a split second, I almost forgot what I was gonna say. "What's up, Martin? You alright?" he asked, glancing at the cut on my head. "Man, what happened to your face? It wasn't Steve, was it?" "Don't worry about it," I snapped, angry that he was still looking out for me. "Look, Eric, I heard about what you said to Miss Spencer. You need to stay out of my business, Holmes. You hear me?" "What's your problem? I just told her the truth." "I don't care what you told her. Just stay out of it. What you did was stupid." I felt guilty saying the words. It was like back in the day when I scolded Güero for following me and Frankie. But if I'd only been harder on him, maybe he'd still be here today. I wasn't making that mistake again. "Stupid? I was sticking up for you. The only thing that would be stupid is if I let you get busted when you didn't do nothing. If you think that's the kind of friend I am, you got me all wrong." His brow was creased and his eyes were focused. He meant what he said. That's what scared me. I couldn't handle another person being in danger because of me. Another person I might not be able to protect. The next thing I knew, I heard myself blurting out words I never meant. Words I shouldn't have said. "Who you kidding, Eric? We ain't friends. You can't even take care of yourself, so you got no business worrying about me," I said, giving him a shove to make my point. "From now on, just stay away from me, and stay out of my business." "What's your problem, Martin? What'd I do to you?" he said, not even trying to defend himself. I wish he'd insulted me or called me a coward for being too scared to be his friend, but he didn't. Instead, he just stood there, looking hurt and confused. I couldn't stand looking at him like that. Without a word, I turned and stormed out of Blueford, glad to escape the place that felt more like my prison than my school. I'd only gone 2 blocks when I spotted something that made my heart drop to my feet. It was Chago. He was watching me from across the street.